Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world. This is Cynthia Fontaine, Spirit Guru, and the Rhode Island Psychic Medium. And I'm trying to open the door here so I can go outside. And it's not cooperating. Ah, there we go. It's a beautiful day here in New England. It's a nice treat because we've had a lot of rain this spring, and summer seems to just be beginning. So our season is so short here. As soon as it gets here, everybody gets outside because it doesn't last for very long. I know the last couple of years, I've been lucky enough to have the opportunity to go west to warmer weather when the winter was just about over, which was nice because then I come back here and spring has set in. So it's like getting a jump start And I had that opportunity again this year, being out in San Diego. And it was such an amazing time out there. And I'm going to be talking about that today. I know I haven't been here with you guys for a few weeks now because I have been traveling. And then life has just come up. Things happen. And I wasn't able to be here last week. So I am glad to be back, and I am looking forward to today's show. So if you'd like to call in today's show, the guest call-in number is 516-595-8267. And I am going to pop on over to Facebook and get on live here as soon as I can find that. And here we go. Accessing my camera. Oh, I need to get a better spot here for Facebook Live. The thing about being on Facebook is you sort of need to be able to see me. And it's a little bit warm out here today. So I am just looking for an umbrella because it is too hot to be sitting out in the sun. And we went from freezing yesterday, we had the heat on, to being really warm today. Which, you know, like I said, the warm is good. However, it is too warm to sit directly in the sun today. So let me see if I can find my umbrella. I don't see all the pieces to it. Well, I don't know. I might have to go inside. That would be very sad because it's such a beautiful day. But I don't see the bottom pieces to the umbrella. Okay, well, I'll have to get David on that later. For you guys that don't know, David's my partner in crime. We've been together for many years, and anyway, I'm going to have to get him working on the umbrella when he gets home from work. All right, so today we are talking about stories, your life stories, and how sometimes they aren't what you think they are. And I'm going to share a story with you that happened while I was out in San Diego with my longtime mentor and friend, whose life story, turned out to be totally different than what she believed for many, many, many years. Okay, so people are messaging me about being live on Facebook, and here we go. Hey, good morning, you guys, live here on Facebook. Sorry for the delay. I was looking for an umbrella so I could sit out in the backyard, further in the backyard, but I couldn't find the parts to it, and it's just too hot to sit out there now. So good morning, you guys. Good morning, everybody. People are messaging me over there on Facebook. Let me turn my phone off because what happens is inevitably Dave generally calls me when I'm on the radio because he forgets. I think he actually just likes to be part of the radio experience and he really doesn't forget. And you know, it's all good. So let's see, just checking the Blog Talk Radio studio. Awesome. All right, so I'm just hanging out here, waiting a few minutes on Facebook, see if people are coming on. So here we are. So your story, and what happens when you find out your story actually isn't your story? What if the stories that your family has told you turn out not to be true? Oh. Okay, so sorry about that, guys. My Facebook Live just quit. Said there was some kind of problem. Okay, so okay, sorry, I just got a message about a friend going to the ER. Okay, sorry about that, guys. Okay, so I'm going to try to pop back onto Facebook Live, see what happens here. And I might, I don't know, for some reason, I might not be able to do the Facebook Live today. Okay, let's try this again. All right, trying the Facebook Live again. For some reason, my connection cut out and I lost you guys. Okay, so today we're talking about stories and the stories of your life. And what if the stories turn out to be not real or true? And also, what if the stories that you tell yourself are just stories, and that you can change those stories and change your perspective about the stories, about situations, about the past? What would happen? What kind of revelations would you have in your life? So I was at Oracle Palooza in San Diego the first week of June, first weekend of June, and with the amazing Colette Van Reed and Dug Up Church facilitating. And Colette shared a story with us about her family story, which she thought was true all these years. And it turns out that the story was so untrue, but it was part of her fabric because it was the story that she grew up with. And then, I'll say she's 50 plus, all of a sudden finding out this story is not true. And then what do you do with it, right? You could have an identity crisis. You could say, oh my God, who am I without my story? And, you know, that's the work of Byron Katie. And the stories that we make up in our heads, or the stories we make up about our lives, the stories we make up about other people, right? They're just stories. And what about the stories that come from our ancestors? What about those stories? Good morning, Lisa by Grace. Good morning, Colette Jackson. Good morning, Michael. Nice to see you guys here. So we're talking this morning about stories and the stories of our lives and the stories of our ancestors and how we can shift our entire life when we discover, or our entire life shifts when we discover a story is not true. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Tamanda. I hope I'm saying your name right. Nice to see you. Look, we finally have some nice weather here in the Northeast. Thinking about you guys out there in San Diego and the beautiful weather we had out there while I was out there. So how do you rewrite your story? How do you change your story? And what happens with the other people involved in your life when you change your story? So I had a really, really cool experience and a huge aha at OP, Oracle Palooza, for those of you who aren't familiar with Oracle Palooza, which is Colette Baron Reed's big weekend event that she has every year in a different location in the U.S., where it's Oracle cards all weekend, but it's really deep and meaningful Oracle cards, and okay, because we ask these deep and meaningful questions. Good morning, Sheila. So nice to see you. Good morning, Selma. How is your store, Sheila? Put the information in the chat so anybody in your local area can check you out. Sheila's new store is called Gemini, and it's fabulous. So, guys, she is in Kansas. If you have friends in Kansas or family or you're in Kansas, check out Sheila's new store, Gemini. So, Sheila, you put that in the chat. That would be great for anybody who can who wants to check you out, share it with their friends, etc. Okay, so one story for me that I've been telling for many years now was that Colette Baron Reed saved my life. And I said that to her for years and years. Every time I saw her, and I'd say, "You saved my life, you know." And she would say, "No, I didn't. You saved your own life." Well, the weekend at Oracle Palooza, we did an exercise where you have to give up seven things in your life that are the most meaningful. And I've done this exercise previously with Colette. I think this was my third time. And I've done it before with another teacher at Healer School. But this time, you know, I had to really dig deep because I've done this exercise before and I thought, you know, I have to really find, you know, the things that would shred me if I didn't have those things in my life. And, you know, it was things that came up, some were surprising and some weren't. But again, you know, really, really digging deep, I said, okay, I want this experience to really be meaningful and impactful for me. So what would shred me if I lost it? And, you know, there were some things, well, seven things, obviously. But when you had to put the slips of paper with the things on it in these bowls, and you had to appear before the oracle. And you had to give up everything. You could choose not to, but then, you know, you wouldn't have the experience of releasing these things. And doing releasing meditations and exercise is such a good thing. You know, besides physically releasing stuff like clutter clearing, which is fabulous too, you know, it's all necessary and all part of sort of like expanding your spiritual life, right? And personal growth. Good morning, Karen. Good morning, Nikki. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Thelma. And so the last three slips of paper that I had to throw into the bucket was Dave for the first time. You know, I've done this experience before, and I've thrown my kids in, I've thrown my car in, I've thrown my clients in. And the idea is that once you are able to detach from it, that's when you really experience having it and the relationship in it. Good morning, Kimberly. And so the last three slips of paper I had were Colette, Dave, and my other longtime mentor and friend, Althea Gray, who's a phenomenal healer. And it was so hard to throw them in the bucket facing the oracle. But I knew, something deep inside of me knew it was time and that I could do it. And after that meditation, I had a huge aha and epiphany. And it was that at the time when I met Colette so many years ago, I was in a place where I was at the lowest point of my life. And I was on the verge of suicide, and I hadn't gone to work for a couple of weeks. My kids like had no idea what was wrong with me, and all I could do was just stay in bed. Good morning, Donna. Good morning, Tracy. And that's when I found Colette. I also found a counselor at the time, but I knew that counseling wasn't going to fix me fast enough to save my life. So I said, what I really need is a really good psychic. And at the time, I didn't know anyone who I felt comfortable with enough to trust. So I started searching on the internet, and this woman keeps coming up, and her name was Colette Baron Reed, and she was traveling with Sylvia Brown. Good morning, my dear friend Tracy. so good to see you. I hope you're coming to the feast this year. I might not be working. I might just be a spectator enjoying this year. Not sure yet. Anyway, so back to on the topic. So I kept seeing this woman, and she was touring with Sylvia Brown, and I thought, wow, if she's touring with Sylvia Brown, she's got to be really good. So I reached out to her, and her assistant got back to me and said, her waiting list is 2 years long. And I went, oh, my God, blah, 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 this is what's happening. Do you have a cancellation list? And she said, yes, but that is also 6 months long. I said, I don't care. Please put me on the cancellation list. I will take any appointment that becomes available anytime, day or night. And the next day, I hear back from her assistant and says, we have an appointment in 2 days, 8:30 in the morning. Do you want it? And I was like, yes. So I get the appointment, and Colette gets on the phone, and she's laughing hysterically. And I thought, oh, my God, I've picked a lunatic. And I love her. And so we're really good friends. So listen to the rest of the story. And as soon as she started speaking and the words came out of her mouth between the laughter was, oh, my God, you are devastated, but this is the best thing that could have happened to you. I knew she was the real deal and that she was the right person for me. And so for years, I have said to her, you've saved my life. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Lisa. Well, this experience of this releasing, to the Oracle with the things that for me, it was the things that would really shred me. I had a huge shift and I could feel it go throughout my whole body where I realized that Colette, she had the lantern. She shined the light, but it was my choice in choosing life. It was my choice in choosing life. And it all the years of her saying, I didn't save your life, you saved your life, it never really clicked. I was putting the energy outside of me. And doing that exercise, it was like a lightning bolt going through my body where I finally understood that I chose life. Colette held the light up, and she's been my guiding light for many, many years now. But I had to choose. I had to choose life. And so I now have shifted that story, right? So for so many years, I said the story, Colette saved my life. Now I know she was the beacon. She was the light keeper, the light bearer, and I had to see the light and move towards the light and choose that myself, right? So how many stories do you tell in your life, have you told, that give your power to other people, number one, and that, you know, might not be exactly true? What if you had a little bit of a different spin on it, right? So, one of the things, and a big, big thing at the event was, and Colette, and how this has all come about, was Colette sharing her story. Now, for decades, she thought she was Catholic, and then in her 20s, her mother divulged that they were really Jewish. And then so for another 30-plus years, she thought she was now Jewish. And then recently she did her DNA and found out she's not Jewish at all. And so all these stories that came along with her, from her family, turns out aren't true. What if the biggest stories in your life, what if they turned out not to be true? Who would you be then? And what would you choose? How would you choose differently? Because we have the opportunity in our lives every single day to choose a new story, to write a new story, to be a different person, right? And we have these people in our lives who can be the light bearers, who can shine the light for us. And so who are those people in your life
who are the light bearers, right? And sometimes we give our power away to our light bearers, right? And a good light bearer will say, no, you saved your own life, right? That's a true teacher and a true light bearer. And so I implore that back to my clients and my friends and my people in my life as well, right? And now that for me, that story has shifted, I know to be true that I chose life, right? I chose life. I chose to be here. I didn't know why I was choosing at that time because, I was so hopeless, but thank God I did, because now I know that I am the light shine. I'm shining the light, right? Like the in the tarot, the hermit card where he's got the lantern, right? I now hold the lantern for other people, which doesn't make me any more powerful or stronger than anybody else. It just gives me the opportunity to pay it back, right? And so when you pay it forward, right? Now it's my turn to pay it forward or pay it back, however you want to look at it. And I know I have my sunglasses on, you guys, but it's so bright out here, so I hope you guys are cool with that. Because, I like to see people's eyes, and I know you can't really see mine right now. So where in your life are you ready, prepared to change your story? And is it time for you to pay back? Have you been dimming your light, hiding behind other people, not getting out there in the world and sharing your gifts and, sharing a part of you that is the real you? Oh, my goodness. I'm just reading a post here, Lisa, by Grace. A raccoon just came into our kitchen and took food from the compost. I am upstairs and heard nothing. Errol was mixing music under headphones. Holy moly. Wonder what that sign is all about. So funny. So no, Deb, this is not my new home. This is my weekend house. this is where I spend my weekends, actually half of the week. So not my new home, but it is one of them. And so my new home is not, I'm near the water, and my new home is not, which is sad, but at the same time, my new home has a good chunk of land, which I'm really happy about. So I'm going to turn around here. You guys can, you can't really see the water behind. Oh, there you go. You see the water there. My little slice of water, my little slice of heaven. So my new home is it's on almost 2.5 acres of land, which there's only about a quarter of it cleared. There's half of it is a fig field, which we are clearing a little bit every week. The other is acre. So let's see. So if we switch it, go into quarters, quarter of an acre is cleared. Half an acre is cleared. Half an acre is field. And then there's another acre plus behind a stone wall that is wooded. And that's where the meditation garden is going to go. And the labyrinth, which I haven't started working on physically yet because there's too many ticks. I don't want to, it's tick season here. And I'm kind of freaked out about getting bitten again and getting Lyme disease. So once the weather gets colder again, then we're going to start getting in there and start clearing. But we already have, a good idea of where the meditation labyrinth is going to go. And we actually already have people who are contributing to get it built. So that's really exciting. So that's going to be an opportunity that I will offer to my peeps. Pretty much in the near future. If you want to be part of building this meditation garden and labyrinth, and it'll be a place where, people who take part of it will be able to come. I'm going to hold classes there in the garden in the summertime and do weekend events and things like that. Thank you so much, Sheila. So it's going to be really cool, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I go out in the yard every day, and I talk to the trees and, you know, talk to the land. And the land is real. I'm really loving the land, and the land is really loving me. So I'm really excited about that. And so there are already people who are sponsoring, which is really cool. And there'll be opportunities to you can, like, sponsor a bench and have a dedication on it and things like that. There'll be crystals that you can sponsor. There'll be stepping stones, all sorts of things. So you guys can, you know, I'll tell you more about that once we get rolling. And it really is lovely, Deb, and I can't wait to get working on it. But so I have a couple of people who have volunteered. One who builds labyrinths, which I'm pretty excited about. And it's not going to be a traditional labyrinth, though. It's going to follow the Fibonacci code. And it was so interesting because one of the things that we were asked to do or suggested that after Oracle Palooza was that we found a talisman for the weekend because the talisman really sort of anchors things in. And, you know, so I was looking for jewelry or looking for something to buy as my talisman. And I didn't really find anything that sort of seemed to be the right thing. And I knew the right thing would show up. And as I was getting ready to leave for the airport, I looked down in my friend's yard who I was staying with. And there was this beautiful pine cone from one of her trees. And I knew that was my talisman. And so I actually brought two of the pine cones home with me. And that reminded me that everything in nature is a spiral. And it's perfectly balanced. And it follows the Fibonacci code. And so, oh, Deb, happy to help out. Yay. So you local people, I will be in really appreciating any help that you want to give or do participate. Physical stuff, we'll have lots of work to do, laying stone and all kinds of things. So I knew that the talisman of the pine cone was the right thing, and I also got the download that that's the shape that the labyrinth has to be in. So it's gonna sort of kind of like if you think about Dorothy and the Yellow Brick Road from The Wizard of Oz, when she first starts out on the Yellow Brick Road, right? Starts at a little tiny tip and it spirals out. So that's gonna be the shape of the labyrinth, and you know, the walking meditation, whatever you wanna call it. But and I didn't know that labyrinths actually can be in a spiral like that until this person, individual, volunteered and sent me some pictures and said, oh yeah, labyrinths can be, look like that. So I was like, oh, cool. So anyway, you know, I shouldn't, my guides, you know, they send me stuff all the time and they're always right. And when I don't listen, that's when I get into trouble. So one thing is, too, there's a lot of poison ivy, and I already got poison ivy. I actually just got it this weekend because all I did was move a block, a cinder block that was on top of the stone wall, and there's poison ivy around it, and now I have poison ivy on my hand from the hand that I moved the block with. So that's another reason why waiting until the cool weather sets in, because I don't like to use chemicals, so I don't want to spray the poison ivy, is so once the stuff starts dying out, then we'll get in there and we'll start, you know, creating the space. There's already some natural space there, which is really nice. So, and there are some dead trees, which I will take down, which will be, you know, good because then they'll become firewood or stump to sit on or whatever. So the land is already providing things that It will be cool. Hi, Pat Cunningham. Nice to see you. So sorry we didn't get to spend too much time at Oracle Palooza. I was really looking forward to hanging out with you. We'll have to make it another date, I'll tell you. Okay, so back to the stories of your life, right? And circumstances and situations, and we make something out of everything in our life. Everything, right? Everything becomes some kind of a story. And for those of us who have a storyteller archetype or have an entertainer archetype, like I have both, the stories can become stories, right? We can tell a story. We can talk. I can talk. I can tell a story. And those stories become ingrained, like in our subconscious, almost like in our DNA. And any story that you tell for a long time takes as much energy to break as it did to create. So it took me years and years and years to change my story, about Colette saving my life. And I didn't do anything knowingly to change that story. It was all happened organically, right? And just like with Colette finding out that her heritage isn't who she thought she was all these years and years, all of a sudden your story changes. So what if it were that easy to change your story and to rewrite it? Okay, the raccoon is not a story. And right? So, but that's a great point, Lisa by Grace Goi, because there are things that happen in our life that are true. The raccoon comes in, we see the raccoon. So one time I had a skunk in my living room. Yep, a skunk. So I was actually doing some work on the house. This is not the house that I'm currently in. This was two houses ago. And it had a wood stove, and the pipe for the wood stove went out into the garage. And the wood stove was disconnected, and all the living room furniture was actually in the kitchen because I was having new floor joists put in because they were all rotted. And anyway, and new flooring and so forth. And so one night the dog was going crazy, crazy barking. And I get up and I go out, and there's a skunk in the living room. I mean, like, what are the chances of that, right? And so all these things that show up in our lives are opportunities, as show up metaphorically, to think about and look at what's going on in our lives. So what do you think about a skunk? Oh, they're stinky, right? They only spray when they feel threatened. Those are all clues. So if an animal shows up in your life, or, you know, something that's significant symbolically, then think about what it means for you before you go look up the meaning of it, because what it means for you is going to be the most powerful thing, right? So when I think of a raccoon, right, I think about wearing a mask because they have a built-in mask, right? So am I hiding, or what am I trying to hide? Maybe I need to take off the mask and show my real self, or maybe I'm a superhero, right? And I'm disguised as this, right? I'm wearing my disguise, my superhero disguise. So Lisa, think about what the raccoon means for you before you put any other meaning to it. Oh my gosh, the coolest birds are coming over here today. I just saw this little tiny bird with this pretty red head. It was like a soft color red. Anyway, they're looking for the bird bath because we have a bird bath, and it's rotted out last year, finally, with this big metal bowl. So I need to get a new bird bath because they are used to having the bird bath and they don't know where it is. Good morning, Susan. No, just got up. No jet lag this time. Oh, so glad you had no jet lag. And I can't wait to see you here in August on the East Coast. Glad that you're feeling well, and nice to see you too, even though I'm not seeing you physically, but I know that you're there. Okay. So So I'm all over the place today, getting we're talking about all kinds of things. So, but back to the story, right? And the stories that we tell. So you can make a story up about the raccoon, Lisa, right? By Grace just had a raccoon in her house. And what is the story? So what is the raccoon doing? Okay, so he came in the house. He went in the compost. He was looking for food. So I would ask myself, so here's this raccoon. He's looking for food. So how am I feeding myself? Am I feeding my soul? Am I, do I need to take care of myself better? Am I feeding myself garbage? Garbage in, garbage out, whatever, right? Those are some of the questions that I think about when I think about the raccoon coming in looking for food in the compost, right? So because the compost is things that you discard. And so those are some questions I would ask, and you might want to journal on it. So this is turning into sort of like a little class here, guys. I love to be fluid and flexible and just sort of let things evolve as they come up. And so this is really a cool thing. So at that time in my life, back to the skunk, I know, Susan, you just are tuning in, and we're talking about stories. We're talking about Lisa by Grace just had a raccoon come into her kitchen and hit her compost bins. So many years ago, I had a skunk come into the house, and it got itself out of the house, but into the crawl space, and then it disappeared. We never found it. I don't know if it ever got out of the house, but we did hear like something in the walls after that for a while, and then it just stopped. So we don't know actually if it got out, if it died in the walls, if whatever. So anyhow. But looking at that time in my life, again, you think about the skunk. You think about, okay, it smells awful when it sprays, so it's got a built-in defense. It only sprays when it feels threatened, right? We don't like skunk so much, do we? Because the smell is so bad. Oh, my God. One time my daughter and I were out walking the dog at night, and the outside light wasn't on. When we left, it wasn't dark. When we came back, it was. And all of a sudden, the dog barks. My daughter screams. I shine the flashlight, and they were glistening from skunk spray. The two of them got skunked. It was terrible. So when symbols show up in your life, you ask yourself in questions, like, what's going on in my life? So a skunk spirit can mean that there are some people in your life that you might, that maybe are stinky, not physically, although it could be a physical representation, but, people that maybe aren't the best thing in your life going on right now. So it can mean to clean up the people around you, clean up your friends, et cetera, et cetera. So those are all great things to think about. And, shifting the story of our life can sometimes be so easy as putting a name in a bowl, right, and releasing. And other times, it can be really hard because we want to hold on to our stories. Because without our stories, we don't know who we are, right? Without our stories, we feel lost, right? So it's like you're out to sea and you have no rudder on your boat. And then it's hard to get control of your ship, right? It's what we think. But what if letting go of your stories would actually give you the rudder that you need to navigate rough seas? Mary Ann Burroughs, good morning. You are so right. Everything you need is truly inside of you. Never give your power away to anyone. Yes, true, true, true. So true. You know, whether it's to a teacher or to a healer or doctors, anybody, right? Never give away your power. And part of that is like also setting good boundaries. It's self-evaluation, right? What's mine, what's not mine, and taking responsibility for your own stuff and not taking responsibility for other people's stuff, right? So important. So because other people have their stories too, right? So when we're all involved in relationships, whether you live with other people or it's your family or it's your friends, they all have their own stories and their own tapes that play in their heads. And sometimes we get caught in their stories, right? What they believe, what they think is true. And so an interesting story that came up in my life just yesterday was I went to see my dad in the hospital, and I got back later than I thought. I left later than I wanted, and I got back later than I thought because we had crazy storms here yesterday. And I didn't want to be driving in. We had severe thunderstorms with hail, and I didn't want to be driving in the middle of that. So I timed it so that I would, when I left, the storms where my dad was at was already over. And I timed it so I was leaving in between the two storms, where I was at, because I had to drive, like I said, over an hour. So I left later than I anticipated, and I got back later. And when I got back, so we were supposed to meet Dave's brother at a carnival with Dave's nephew, and we watch him go on rides and all that fun stuff, and we do this thing every year. And I got back, and not until 8:30 at night. It was too late to go up there, and they were getting ready to leave the carnival. So I had to be really clear about what was my responsibility about us not going, because I talked to Dave at 10 till 7. He knew I was still an hour away, and I didn't think to say to him, hey, why don't you go without me and I'll meet you up there? But he didn't think about it either. But yet when I got home, it was like the Wrath of Khan. All you Star Trek people, right? But I realized, you know what? He could have said and made the choice, okay, I'm gonna go, but he didn't. But then it was his wrath that I faced, and I said to him, you know what? You could have gone up there. You could have said, hey, I'm gonna go meet them, right? Don't blame it on me. Yeah, I was running late. So what are the stories of the people around you? What are the stories they're telling, right? And what's the true story? What is your story? And don't take responsibility for other people's stuff, right? Let them own it themselves. It's funny. He loves to be like on, he loves to pop in when I'm on the radio. He almost always calls, which I have my phone off, but it still comes through sometimes on the computer, even though the phone is off. He almost always calls when I'm on the radio because he likes to be part of it. He's so funny. But like then, when I share stories like that or whatever, he's like, don't tell those things. And then afterwards, or I'll post something, some funny picture or something. And then when he finds out how many likes and thumbs up it gets, he just wants more of it. He's such a comic in that way. He loves attention. So the people around us, right, they give us all the work that we need in our lives. They shine a light on our shadow for the things that we have the opportunity to look at and say, I don't think I'm liking this so much about myself right now. I think I need to change that story, or I think I'm going to choose to do something differently, right? Really, really important, because we often blame the people in our lives for the situations or things around us, right? When we could make a different choice ourselves, when we are maybe giving our power away to someone else, right? When we are letting the story in their mind influence us. And it happens with every single one of us. And the people around us influence us greatly, especially people that you live with, right? Because you're in such close proximity. And again, it's about being really clear about who you are, what stories are you telling, and shifting those stories. So one thing, a situation that has been ongoing for me, in the last, let's see, So the last 7 weeks, so I moved and, you know, bought a house, moved, which, so I'm half the week at the my house, and then I'm half a week here with Dave. And the new house is really for my daughter. So, you know, I'll have an office there forever, whatever, to help her. And then we're going to have the healing. That's where the healing garden is going and everything, because there's not room here for that. But anyway, so we have different opinions and different tastes, right? And it's really interesting because it was like as soon as we walked into this house, she suddenly became country. And this girl doesn't have a country bone in her, right? So she suddenly wants to decorate like country style. And for the first 2 weeks, I was being tortured because I like clean, contemporary. I like nickel finish fixtures. She wants to do this antique bronze stuff. And I'm like, oh my God. So anyhow, we finally were able to come to a compromise. And again, you know, this is going to be her house. So I'm giving her a lot of leeway. And so anyhow, but the people we live with, right, we have to respect them and their stories. And but also be clear about what's theirs, what's ours. And even as simple as, you know, decorating a house, right, even though it's sort of relevant to the story, right, because our home represents who we are, how we feel inside, right? And one of the stories you might be carrying around with you is if you have ancestral property belongings, is that you can't get rid of anything that belonged to your ancestors, right? Well, that's a story that you're telling yourself. And what if by letting go of those things, it freed up space to bring in things that you really love? Now, if you have things that belong to your family that you love, keep them for goodness sake, right? Don't get rid of them. But if you have things that belong to your ancestors that you don't love, that you feel obligated to keep, let them go lovingly. Give them to another family member. Gift them to charity, whatever. So one of the things that I have inherited are multiple statues, religious statues, from different family members, from great aunts, from my grandmother, all, you know, so all these religious statues have accumulated in my home. And a few years back, I thought, you know what, it's time for me to let go of some of these religious statues. You know, I have an altar. I have all sorts of things on my altar, but I didn't need 15 religious statues on the altar. So I got a hold of my siblings and said, hey, do you want some of these, you know, statues? And they took some. It was great. So now I have a lot less religious statues. I was able to share it with them because they didn't have any. One of the funny things is I'm packing up my brother's apartment, and now some of those religious artifacts are now back at my house. But anyway, they say what you give away that comes back to you, you're meant to have. So Susan says, yes, a fine dance between two people in a relationship, always give and take. When you said she went country, the first thing I thought was going outside, not decorating. Yeah, so both are true, right? So the house is more in the country, but she's gone country with decorating. So one of the things was there was this gingham checkered shower curtain in the house when we bought it. And it looks just like Dorothy of the Wizard of Oz dress, the blue and white. And I finally said to her after a couple of weeks, oh, honey, are we really going to keep that gingham shower curtain? Do you think we could change it? And she did change the shower curtain. But anyway, so it's kind of funny. But, you know, life is all about a dance. It's a dance with our relationships, but it's also a dance within ourselves. And you have to have a sense of humor when you're looking at these things. When you're looking deep within, when you're, you know, looking at the stories, when you're looking at relationships, the best thing you can do is have a sense of humor. It's so funny because I keep seeing the birds flying behind me. And it makes me think about the story of the bat out last time I was out, or the time before when I was out in California, when the bat flew into my friend's house. And, oh, we got so much mileage out of that bat. It was great. So again, this week, you know, we've just had this great full moon. And, you know, full moons are a great manifesting energy. And new moons, we'll be coming into the new moon now. The moon is emptying. And the new moon is all about, you know, it's like, what can you create new in your life, right? And it's emptying because you think about the new moon and we don't see the moon, even though it's there. So it's the shadow. So what are the shadow things? So I really encourage you these next 2 weeks while we're approaching the new moon is to think about what are the stories in your life that you tell? What are you giving meaning to? What do they mean in your life? And if you changed the meaning or changed the story, how would your new story look? What would your life look like, right? What would your life look like? So those are the things that I really encourage you to think about these next 2 weeks as we coming into the new moon is what are the stories? And who are you without your story? It's an opportunity, really, to write a whole new story, right? Write a whole new story. So for me, part of the things that are going on in my life right now is helping take care of my dad and also my brother. And I've had to get really clear the last 7 weeks about what is my story, what is my part, what am I willing to do as far as how much time and energy in helping my dad and my brother, what's not my responsibility to take on, right? So that's part of the story, because my old story that I grew up with from my family, my grandmother particularly, was that you do everything for everybody. Okay. She would tie my grandfather's shoes. I mean, come on. He would yell from the other room, "Hey, Anna, bring me coffee or get me this or get me whatever." And my grandmother would jump up and do it. Okay, so hold on, you guys, because I'm going to sign off over here on Blog Talk. Oh, we still have a minute over there. But I will say, you guys, if you're on Blog Talk or on Facebook, if you guys haven't signed up for my newsletter, do that at CynthiaFontaine.com, CynthiaFontaine. And look out, I'll be having new classes coming up here pretty soon online. I am going to be doing a mediumship 101. I'm also going to be doing a class on building your holistic practice. So be on the lookout for those. And then I will be doing some local classes in probably beginning in the fall because people, you know, summer's short here and people want to be outdoors. They want to be doing things. And so do I. So local classes live will begin again in the fall, probably in September. But I will be doing an online class or two over the summer so you guys can be on the lookout for that. So I love you guys over there on Blog Talk. Thanks for listening, whether you listen live or to the replay. Like my page on Facebook, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium. And I'm going to hang out with you guys over here for a few more minutes.